Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, 7 o'clock hour, Jay Binkley, JT Noah. Why don't you tell them where they can hear your show? It's on our sister station, 1660.
Yes, 1660. I've got a name for it. 1 hour dash, 11 to 12 on most Saturdays. We have to put a pause on it, though, because we're trying to make that transition over to the fans. So we want to make that as crisp as we can for the main listeners, but hopefully in 2 weeks, you'll hear me back on the sister station 1660 from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Saturday, the one-hour dash with JT.
What do you think is going to be your first topic? I think it's probably going to be Chiefs, but I'm just guessing.
Depends on when we come back, but I'm thinking it's probably going to be Chiefs or it's going to be week zero of college football. I'm pumped for college football, man. As a huge Mizzou fan, the expectations are super high, and I can't wait for my heart to get broken.
Yeah, I saw people talking about week one. There wasn't any games appealing to them in week one. I was sitting there going, what are you talking about, man? Week one is actually not week one. It's week zero. That's the first weekend of college football to enjoy. By the way, the Red Sox are down 3-1 in the fifth to the Orioles. The Red Sox are on the road. I said they were at home. They're actually on the road. So they're down. They're better road team than home team. But anyway, down 3-1. But yeah, week zero. I'm looking forward to some of these FCS versus FBS matchups because upsets do happen all the time.
There's that Colorado one, South Dakota State. Oh,
Colorado and North Dakota State.
North Dakota State, I meant.
Yeah. South Dakota State is playing Oklahoma State, and that game's at 1 o'clock on ESPN Plus on Saturday, August 31st. That's the second week. But again, just like South Alabama last year, Oklahoma State's a very good team. I think they're going to contend for the Big 12 title. I think Kansas State's going to win. I think KU's going to be there. West Virginia's my dark horse. UCF has a very underrated offense. They've got KJ Jefferson there down there now. Gus Malzahn had that in one of the top offensive categories all year. They were only behind Oklahoma's offense. I think that offense going to be pretty damn good for UCF at this stuff. But, yeah, I always like the nice matches. South Dakota State's national champions at Oklahoma State again. It's early in the season. For some reason, college teams, they're either get ready to go or they're not. There's no preseason, man. You got to be ready to go. Yeah. And that's the one thing about college football when these teams schedule tough games in the beginning. You better be ready, man. Because there's not a lot of time for errors because you see how sloppy preseason football is. You know, for example, you know, Clemson starts off, they're playing a kickoff classic type game, AFLAC kickoff is what they call it. They're playing Georgia. So 14th ranked Clemson is playing number one Georgia August 31st. These teams got to get ready to go, man. I mean, there's no free play there. But, yeah, I'm 100% looking forward. I'm sure Deion's not looking forward. And Colorado should win this game again. Using the word should, but don't tell me that North Dakota State doesn't want a little something.
Oh, no doubt. North Dakota State is a great program. And we talk about non-conference games. The one that makes me shake my head is my own team, Missouri, playing UMass in the middle of their SEC conference. Not only are they playing UMass,
yeah,
they're going to
UMass. SEC teams, they've got that.
But they're going to it. It's not even like, oh, yeah. UMass is going.
They should not be doing that.
It is one of the most bizarre things. Next year, though, I'm really excited for the non-conference as Kansas heads to Columbia to start the season next year. So that's going to be a very fun game at Furrow Field as the Jayhawks go to the Tigers.
Yeah, week one is going to be fun. Really the only highlight of the week zero games because there is some, you know, that first Thursday, you know, when Missouri State plays Missouri because that's a Thursday game. They actually open up on Thursday. Like Arkansas Pine Bluff is playing Arkansas. But the week zero games, I think Florida State, Georgia Tech, Florida State's 10th in the country. Remember Feinbaum going off on Florida State?
Feinbaum always finds a way to go off on Florida State.
That's the most intriguing of the week zero games. And then we start getting the meat and potatoes. But how about February 12th? It's ridiculous. Have you seen that slate of games?
You mean October 12th?
October 12th. Not what'd I say?
February.
Oh crap! I didn't mean that. I meant October 12th.
Yeah, and I'm gonna harp real quick. October 12th. Okay.
It's LSU and Ole Miss.
I know.
Florida and Tennessee. Oregon and Ohio State, SC, Penn State, Texas,
Don't
Oklahoma.
Remind me, Bink, because guess what? My best friend decided to put his wedding on October 12th.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I can't do it, man.
We did this as a topic last night because it was trending yesterday. People were talking about it. I read this Barstool story about somebody's going off on, I don't know if I'd go to my sister's wedding if it was on October 12th. It was so many big games. You're actually doing it.
I am.
I didn't think this was realistic. I didn't think people would do it. This is interesting because I did not know this. Honestly, I talked about it last night. I wouldn't plan on doing it tonight. I talked about it being selfish if anybody gets married during college football season. Sorry if it's your friend. I just feel that way because the bottom line is people should enjoy your wedding. Hopefully you get free beer. Hopefully it's free beer, GT. I'm not kidding you. Hopefully it's an open bar if you get a sacrifice. A great college football day like that. But you're going to be checking the scores. And everybody in the audience is going to be checking scores. They're going to be running to the bar. They're going to be checking scores. They're probably not going to think a bunch about your wedding and they're reminded of it in the future, which, by the way, their anniversary is going to come up every year during football season. But people aren't going to be paying attention because they're going to want to watch college football and they're going to get you a crappy toaster, not a four slaughter, but a two slaughter because they're mad at you. But is your friend like football?
Yeah, so he loves college football. And the thing, what happened was, is October 12th is, actually, I believe, is the day where Mizzou's playing at UMass. And so he's like, oh, this is an easy weekend. We can do the wedding because his fiance wanted to do a fall wedding. And I go, you've got to be kidding me. And luckily, I'm not in the wedding. I love the man. His name is Will Grebel. I'm throwing him out there. But he put October 12th, and I've been giving him crap ever since then, because I'm like, dude,
is this like a big wedding or something?
I'm assuming it's a big wedding because, but I am excited for him, but I've already let him know that if you see me looking down during your wedding,
think everybody's a Mizzou fan or something?
I don't know. I know his brother.
But that is a great, great day for college football.
I know. Luckily his wedding's actually really late, which probably is even worse, but I know I believe the Oregon game will be the big noon kickoff, so we won't miss that one.
You'll see that one. People you watch on their phones, though, seriously.
Oh, I will.
There will be people that'll act happy about it, honestly, JT. I'm just being just totally honest here. They'll say, but deep down they're gonna regret it. You know what I'm saying? They're like, oh, I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave my couch and my beer and everything to go watch these games.
Yeah, I've already warned my girlfriend. I was like, listen, I'm going to be watching the game. You can nudge me all you want, but that game is going to be, the games are going to be on.
Well, they save money doing it this way because, I mean, I understand that, but could you wait until March? Could you wait till April? Can you wait till May or June? I'm just throwing it out there, man.
Yeah, I don't know, but I'm happy for the man.
Oh, he's you got to be happy for it, but.
Luckily, I'm not in the way.
I've been to a fall wedding, and I wasn't real happy about it.
Yeah, I've told my girlfriend, and she knows, Haley knows, that if we get engaged, we are not having a fall wedding. I know she hates the summer, but there is no way doing a fall wedding. We could do a December wedding. That's cool.
Yeah, if you want people from 6'10 to go to it, yeah, I probably wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Look at Rob. I mean, Rob was perfect.
I know.
Perfect.
I know I was a part-timer, didn't get an invite, but that's okay, Rob.
Perfect summer wedding. It worked out great.
Yeah, it works out. You find a way. And honestly.
And it went to cash bars, open bar. I mean, it was perfect.
I mean, there's no way I'm doing a fall wedding just because of how much sports I can intake. Like, people give my girlfriend crap. Man, you're dating a person that loves sports more than you probably. Well, it might be true sometimes. You never know. JT loves his sports. He eats, sleeps, and thinks.
You do. It's like what Andy Reid, or what they said about Andy Reid, Kyle Long. He eats, sleeps, and drinks football. Text line 913 says, if I ever have a wedding, I would be the one at the celebration, have a bunch of TVs. We could all watch sports games together and have everybody drink. Watching the sports game and having fun. Watching the sports and having fun and doing that. That's great. That's great in theory. Would that work out? I don't know. You're going to find a lot of people on their cell phones checking scores. And if this is a place that, kind of has a bar out there, people are going to be congregating and watching the game. They're going to be sitting at their table. They're going to be putting their ties around their face and doing the YMCA dancing. No, they're going to be drinking beer and watching football.
Yeah, it's kind of funny we were talking about this wedding because my girlfriend asked me today, hey, where is their wedding? And I go, I actually don't know. I put the invitation on the fridge, and I haven't looked at it since. I know it's on October 12th, and I know the time, but I don't know where it's at. So I actually got to go home and look where it's at, because it might be indoors. I have no
idea. That's so ironic, man. After we were talking about it last night, me and Chris.
That's funny. That is funny.
That you've got to go to one.
Yeah, I saw all the tweets, and I'm like, I retweeted, and I go, and my best friend did this to me.
Oh, yeah. It was a popular topic. People were talking about it. Like, they wouldn't go, and something like that. I mean, if it was immediate family, yeah, but, like, just a friend or acquaintance, I don't know, man. You know, one thing we did see at Rob's wedding, though, we were playing the wedding bingo. Somebody did put the tie around the head. Like, you have to have that at a wedding. The tie around the head.
Oh, like someone's on the, like got, the forehead, like a bandana kind of thing?
Yeah, someone's got to get drunk and do that. Someone has to do that and hit the dance floor. That's always fun to watch. That is a must at weddings. You're going to see something like that. That might even be you, JT.
It might be, especially if Mizzou loses to UMass that day.
Are you in the wedding?
I'm not in the wedding.
No. Yeah.
So, it's just...
So you're on toaster watch.
I am on he's doing more of, like, the people that are in a wedding are family-related, which I think is actually a really cool idea. And so, it works like that. And, like I said, I can be in the back celebrating with him as I'm watching, who knows, Oregon walk off or hit a game-winning field goal off of Ohio State.
And the good news is you can watch a lot of stuff on your phone now.
Oh, exactly.
Like you can watch a lot of games.
You can put the quad box. I don't know if you have YouTube TV, but they now allow you to have the quad box on your phone.
What if the Royals are in playoffs, too?
Oh,
what if
you got that in college, my football? Gosh. Don't do this to
I'm
me.
I'm just saying, man.
I know.
You got to think about these things, JT.
I know. I'm just going to have like a my suit's going to have like
friends.
All of these things.
Sports ahead of friends, man. Because you got to ask yourself deep down, does that friend really like you? Is he being forced against his will to have a wedding on that day?
Honestly, I think he is, but I'm not going to
say.
See, I bet he is.
I'm glad. Look at you. You put your foot down.
I'll be honest. I think he is because he's like, she wanted to do it this weekend, and there was no way I was doing it on this weekend. And I think it was the game against Alabama she wanted to do where Mizzou was at Alabama, and he goes, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing
that.
I'm not doing that.
You would really pick. Pissing people off.
Oh, man.
I remember my previous wife that I was married to a long time. We were dating. It was before I got in the media and everything. And she said, this is like, I guess her way to my heart originally. Said, I'll go pick up some beer, which, okay. I was like, okay. All right. Because at this point, I was batching and I just had beer and ketchup in my fridge. That was it. And I was low on beer. She said, I'll come and watch a Chiefs game with you. I'm like, whoa. Two things right there. That's striking up true love. I'm thinking she's bringing beer. She wants to watch a Chiefs game. This is perfect. I've waited for this girl my whole world life. She comes over at this point. I think I was watching the Rams game or something like that at the time. And she goes, oh, you watch other games too. And I said, maybe you should sit. Maybe you should sit. Because I watch a lot of football. I don't do anything on Saturdays because I'm glued to the TV because I love college football. You might even, well, you will see me out on Friday night at high school football. I'll do that. And the NFL Sunday. I just love football. The offseason, hey, that's romance time. That's the mating season. That's when you go out and you do your things. You take people to fancy dinners and do your stuff, right? You build that stuff in the fall. You build yourself up some equity. And then I'm sitting there, and I'm going, yeah, I need to tell you something, though. I watch a lot of sports, and I act like a petulant child when I watch sports. Like I maybe smack the floor. I've been known to go out and kick items. I've put holes in the wall. The Lynn Elliott game had two holes in the wall. Had to put pictures over both. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't act like that anymore. I've grown up.
Yeah.
I hit 40 and then I grew up.
You grew up a little, right?
At that point, yeah.
Yeah. So it's funny you talk about that because last weekend was the Olympics and the basketball game, right? And I went over to Haley's house and she had some family over from Montana. And she had warned them, they're like, hey, my boyfriend's coming over. He loves sports. Well, the men's basketball game was on. We were watching it before we went to the Royals game.
Hey, he likes sports. I love it.
And we start watching it, and it's getting crunch time, you know, and I'm starting to scream at the TV. And she has little cousins, and the little cousins go, why is he screaming at the TV? And I'm like, listen, this is intense. And all of a sudden, her other cousin turns around and goes, you know all their names. How do you know all their names? I'm like, listen, I know them, and they better start shooting make their shots. And all of a sudden, they start making them, and I start calming down, and Steve goes, her dad goes, Man, JT, you are one funny person. We should have a camera when we watch sports together because it would make some good TV and TikToks.
I felt like that early in the morning watching Scheffler try to win that gold medal coming back on that. I was like, because golf can be so frustrating watching it, man. So frustrating when they barely lip out or whatever. You're sitting there going, oh, if he only makes that putt. But he did well. But it's tough to watch it sometimes. But yeah, my name is Jay and I'm addicted to sports.
My name is JT, and I'm addicted to sports.
Thank you, JT. I've watched NFL football with you. As I said, you were here with me during postgame a lot, and you saw how I behaved. I saw how you behave. And I've calmed way down.
You've calmed down since last year?
Yeah. I think I turned the corner a lot when the year before Mahomes is going to be the starter, 17. He was kind of redshirted there, 17, played that one game against the Broncos. That playoff loss, it stings. It always hurts because I'm used to that. It's what used to happen here. Not anymore, but it used to be the way. Is I sat there and I said, okay, Mahomes quarterback next year, I'm good. You know, we're good now. Well, let's think positive here. I sat doing the postgame show at the other place. We were on a remote for the Colts comeback. Remember that? The Colts comeback game?
Yeah.
I didn't know what to say, honestly. I opened the show and I said, hey, you Jim. I gave the phone number. It was like, hey, I'm... And then I let people just rant because they won the rant. Trust me, our phone lines lit right up. And then I collected my thoughts before I, you know, would spew them. And at that point, I realized I'd turned the corner. I wasn't that petulant child anymore. So
I remember that day because we were at Town Center. My parents had drugged me down there. And I started watching the game on my phone, and I was really, really happy and energetic. And after that game, I was so quiet. My parents were like, what happened? Oh, you don't want to know what happened.
You don't want to know what happens. Come up next, sports. Have you ever heard of this guy? Gary Stuweski. Am I saying it right? Stuweski. The Sports Center and First Take and all, they did like a swap. They did a swap with the Sports Center anchors doing other shows and stuff. I heard one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard on that show. Bring you that next. Speaking of the song, JT, I can't wait for Top Gun 3.
You can't?
Supposedly they're going to be filming it soon, or maybe they already have started. I don't know. I mean, Tom Cruise didn't have the pilot cut, really, when he jumped off the top of the Olympics.
Yeah.
Unless he's retired now. I mean, he could be retired in Top Gun 3. Who knows if he's retired and kind of just...
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Dark Dinger, who knows what this deal is now? I can't wait for that. It's a good series.
It is, and I think Kaylee would be excited because Miles Teller's in it. She is a real Miles Teller fan, so.
I don't go to movies very often, but I did see the Twisters.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. So.
Yeah, he's in that one.
Is Miles Teller in that one?
I won't. Yeah, he is.
Okay.
Not Miles Teller, but Hangman.
I know what you're talking about. I've seen all the TikToks about him. Yeah.
Yeah, he was in it. Not Miles Teller, not Rooster. Hangman was in that. His real name, it escapes me. I'm not big into the pop culture, man. I knew it, but I just.
Glenn Powell.
Glenn Powell. I should know that. I won't spoil it, but there are tornadoes.
No way. Really? Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I've heard it's based in Oklahoma, too.
I don't want to ruin it, but there will be a tornado. I mean, it is called Twisters.
Oh, I thought those were the potatoes they were going to show me.
Maybe more than one. Maybe more than one. I mentioned I was going to mention this horrible take. This is funny. It just cracked me up because you got to look for fuel and ammunition. You know, if you're Mahomes, he was already fourth in the NFL. Dan Orlovsky, we'll get to that. He has these ridiculous quarterback rankings. Got Mahomes with the tough arm strength. But like... mechanics and stuff like that wasn't in the top 10. I'll get to that. But sports anchor Gary Stuweski was on First Take. And he was asked to name a quarterback most apt to beat Patrick Mahomes. So of all the quarterbacks in the NFL, and again, if you're Patrick Mahomes, I don't think you're slight because he was asked to name the quarterback that could beat Mahomes. Now, if you're Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, something like that, this might tick you off. But I was blown away with who they said he would take to beat Mahomes.
Which quarterback do you trust the most to beat Patrick Mahomes?
Okay, I have to preface this with understanding that this is my first time on First Take. And what I'm about to say could very well mean this is my last take on First Take. And I'm taking divisions and conferences out of it. If you give me one quarterback to beat Patrick Mahomes, whether it's at Arrowhead,
don't look at
the site, whatever. Randy co-signed this take.
No,
for
he
me.
Did not.
Give me Dak Prescott. I want Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Stephen
to do
A.
What?
To beat him. Listen, because listen, if you
what?
If you're not cheating, you're not trying. So I took this question when our producers posed it to us, and I extrapolated. I said, okay, we're playing one game, which means obviously NFC, AFC. That means the Cowboys have ran through the playoffs. I am putting them in the Super Bowl now. So no longer can you talk about, okay, they don't have playoff success. Dak Prescott doesn't have playoff success. Stephen A., I know you're about to unleash fury on me. But we are in the financial capital of the world, people. And what we need to remember here is past production does not predicate future success or performance. Okay, all the talk about Dak Prescott, he can't win in the playoffs. This guy was 12-5 last season. And what do you need to beat the Chiefs? You need to be able to go toe-to-toe with not just Mahomes, but with their offense.
See, it just cracks me up, man, that whole Cowboys belief. I can't believe it, but again, if you're Burrow or Allen or somebody like that, you're taking more of a slight to it, right? Would you really pick Dak Prescott as the guy to beat Mahomes? You would pick him over Joe Burrow that has success against it?
I wouldn't even take him in the NFC
Allen.
First.
Lamar Jackson's beaten him once in the regular season. Josh Allen's beaten him a couple times in the regular season. But it would not be Dak rolled out there right away. He's not even in the top five.
That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't even take him to be the first in the NFC to beat us. I mean,
would you take Jalen Hurts?
No. Brock Purdy? I would take.
He's beaten both, but who hadn't he beaten?
I mean, if you think about it, the one in the NFC that has beat him, it was his, I know, quote unquote, sophomore year on a Monday night, Jared Goff. I mean, I mean, just think about it.
This is the year that he scored over 50 points.
And then Jared Goff did it last year, too.
He scored over 50 points and still lost the game.
I know.
Unreal.
But what about last year? Jared Goff did it again. I know there was help.
Unreal.
I know. But I'm just saying, I think I would put Jared Goff over Dak Prescott. That's what I'm saying.
This defense this year, that game was 40-3.
I know. But I'm saying I would take Jared Goff over Dak, is what I would say there. Would you take Jared Goff over Dak to beat Mahomes?
100%.
Okay, that's where I'm going.
I just like what he's playing right now.
Exactly.
It is a guy that's been in the Super Bowl. Didn't win it, but he's been.
I'm not saying Jared Goff does it again. I'm just saying
I think the Chiefs would have beat him in a rematch had they gotten to that game with that, the overtime against the Patriots, that one that kind of started everything. I truly believe they would have beat the Rams that day. Because remember, the Rams couldn't score against the Patriots. Chiefs put the Patriots a lot tougher than what the Rams did the week before or 2 weeks before. At least that's how I saw it. I was shocked at how bad the Rams looked in that game.
Yeah, I was 1,000% agree with you there. The Rams looked really bad, and I get it with Sean McVay. What, first season as the head coach for the Rams?
That offense was so loaded. That team was just scoring at will and everything. It was just, I was shocked at the way they played.
100%, but that's what Bill Belichick does to rookie head coaches.
Oh, I know. Even McVay said, but Belichick had been texting. Of course he did. You're a good football team. Belichick's going to text you and try to be your friend, right? You can eventually probably tell him all your secrets, aren't you, at some point?
He wants all those goodies. He wants to know what you're about to do.
Yeah. Come up next, though, we'll check in with Buffalo as I look at some of the top contenders in the AFC. Are they for real or not? We'll talk to Gene Battaglia of our sister station out in New York next.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
And welcome back, Jay Binkley, JT Noah, producing the operation. Welcome back to 96.5, The Fan FM. Time to go out to New York, talk to the co-host of the Sports Bar, 3-6 weekdays on The Fan Rochester. We used to say sister station, but until the Buffalo Bills beat the Chiefs in the postseason, it is our child. What's up, buddy? Gene, you there? Gene? I make Gene, man. Gene, are you there? Producing the operation.
Gene, are you there?
Sorry about that.
There we go.
I had to use these phone lines, man. This is fancy FM stuff, man.
Hey, congratulations there. Big time, Gene.
Hey, you're the fan, too. You're the fan Rochester, so obviously you've been the fan longer. Same company with Odyssey. We're the fan as well, so, you know, it's going to be a battle of fans. Now, you guys have been doing this for a long time, so, hey, we just joined the party.
Do you have a fine jar for every time you call yourself by the old signal? Because your producer JT said,
yeah,
you know, he didn't have a correct one.
It is the first day. I mean, last night I closed things out. It's still our AM signal is still the fan. Instead of 610 Sports KC, it's the fan 610 AM. So it's staying. Like the AM signal's staying.
There we go.
It is staying. And then we'll have the Chiefs. We'll have the Royals. We've got Kansas State and we have Missouri on 96.5. And if there's conflicts and things run around, one's on what we were, the blowtorch anyway, 610 Sports Radio and 96.5. But this is simulcast, AM and FM. So it just gives the flexibility to do this. And when you're in this town, you have the Chiefs and the Royals. What more do you want?
Well, the NHL, that's one thing we have out here. But
I know.
So,
I miss that every day. And the Great Lakes. You have a boater, by the way. I was watching the other day. I almost texted you, Gene. It was lakefront bargain hunting or something like that, and they were in Rochester.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, the guy was a realtor in that. I went to high school with. It's a small town, yeah.
Yeah, it looked great. It looked absolutely great. But I brought you to talk about the Buffalo Bills. Obviously, your station carries the Bills. I believe you usually do, and you probably did this year. You read it every practice?
Every practice, yeah. Yeah, so the Bills are, what is it, only seven teams that actually still go away. But not go away. I mean,
seven, and then only two don't play a scrimmage against another team, the Chiefs and the Raiders.
Yeah, it's right. So today was the scrimmage day for the Bills down in Pittsburgh. So that was closed to the public, but no big fights.
That's a shocker, too, because there's always fights.
Yeah, yeah. Whether it's the Giants and the Lions, I guess there was one with the Jets today. But, there's some pushing, but that was about the extent of it today.
I guess the most disappointing news probably for Bills fans, because this guy's kind of the heart and soul of that defense, is Matt Milano hurt again. Of course, he was hurt most of last year, too. But him going down again, that's got to be a killer.
Yeah, it's on a few levels, Jay. 2022, he's an all-pro.
Yeah.
Okay. He can recognize things. You can't, successfully go to the flat with him on that side of the field. He's just at the top of his game, has the serious knee injury, and then he's healthy. He's on the field. He did all the spring workouts, everything else. And then he's just going through a simple drill with a tackling dummy. That's how this happened.
Yeah,
it's
some of the worst
practice
ones, too.
Yeah, a tackling dummy. So rips his bicep. You're looking at December. So, can any team survive one player going out as long as it's not your quarterback? Sure. But the thing that concerns me with the Bills right now is it's just a cumulative effect here. Because while Milano is out, you lost Leonard Floyd to free agency, and you lost your two safeties, Poyer and Hyde, and Tre'Davious White, and your center, Mitch Morse, which you know very well.
Replaced it with the Missouri Tiger.
Well, yeah, that's true, too. So
Connor McGovern, is Connor McGovern now the starting center there, right?
Yeah, Connor McGovern, who
he go back to back
over
Mizzou
at left guard. He slides over to center. So,
yeah.
I mean, they get a little bit younger, but Morse had a the offensive line was a strength for that team last
Absolutely.
Year. That's a little bit of a risk, but.
Yeah, Connor McGovern was the Missouri Tiger as well, so it was back-to-back Tigers for you there. Gino, they talk a little bit about the AFC, but this team last year, Buffalo, I mean, they were well-rounded the team. I mean, this is a team that, didn't get right into the playoffs, but ended up being the number two seed because of Miami, and that was great because then Miami had to come here in minus 31-degree weather, and they didn't like that whatsoever. But the Bills were the sixth highest-scoring offense last year, and then conversely, they were the fourth in scoring defense last year. I mean, they were put together, and they were a very good team as far as that's concerned. I'm curious about the wideouts because that seems to be what the Chiefs are chasing in the draft. That's what the Bills are chasing in the draft. That's what a lot of teams are chasing, to be quite honest with you. But Keon Coleman ends up going to the Bills. They trade the Kansas City Chiefs. They can move up and get Xavier Worthy. I'm sure people are going to be looking at that, or Leggett and some of the guys that they passed on. But then MVS goes to Buffalo. And yeah. What's he going to do? All I've read is he keeps dropping passes, man. I'm not shocked.
So went to every practice during training camp here in Rochester. And what I'm telling you, like, he drops passes. I'm not telling anything you don't already know. Now, the thing was, there was one play where he blew by both the safeties. Josh Allen steps up in the pocket. Oh, he's going to let it rip. And 40 yards downfield, bam, hits him. It's like, well, that's what you keep that guy around for. But then the first preseason game against the Bears, there's another drop. So he, MVS right now, is squarely on the bubble. The thing that I would point to that perhaps he makes the team, Jay, is that Josh Allen is getting into this category of, he's not Aaron Rodgers where, hey, you're going to bring in my buddy. Let's bring in Alan Lazard. Let's bring in Randall Cobb. No, no, no. But Josh Allen has a little bit of a voice, I do believe, when it comes to, you know, who he wants in that room. And they went on this trip to Nashville right before, you know, in that window of June when nothing was going on in the NFL. And, yeah, it was getting some work in. It was a little team bonding. I think it was notable that MVS was on that trip. So, and he's gone to Josh Allen's house for dinner. So it's, you know, if he and Allen have that bond, they view MVS as being the guy that can he make one play in the postseason. One play, Jay.
Well, that's what it comes down to. That's what it comes down to. He's got 12 postseason games. He's played in 12 so far. Not only with Green Bay, he was going there all the time, and with the Chiefs. But, like, he did show up in the postseason. I mean, matter of fact, against the Buffalo Bills, two catches, but they were 62 yards in that game. And plus, he had a touchdown in the Super Bowl as well. So it was weird because he didn't show up during the season as Mahomes had all those receivers and the drop passes. But in the postseason, like, he was good.
Yeah, if he makes this team, he's the fifth wide receiver. I'm fine with that.
Number five, yeah.
That's what you need. Just, okay, a couple times a game, let's try something here. I mean, it's a Bills team that, yeah, I'm not going to argue, they're worse off at the position. How could you not be? But they are transitioning to a primary two tight end set. You have Dalton Kincaid, you have Dawson Knox, and you can create some mismatches in that regard. And if James Cook, the running back, can stop with the drops he's there, all right, you've got some – it's going to be a different-looking passing attack. The irony here, Jay, is that you know how many people up here point to, well, this can work in Buffalo because it worked in Kansas City after Tyreek Hill. They let him go for money. It's just nobody thought that the Chiefs would be anything, and look how they reinvented themselves. Yeah. Look, it's a little optimistic to think that history's going to kind of come up here and smile nicely on us. But I think there is a plan in Buffalo after Diggs here. It's just going to look a lot different.
We're talking to Jim Taglia, co-host of the Sports Bar on 95.7 The Fan in Rochester, carries the Buffalo Bills there, and he's been every practice this year as well. And one thing that I love is the NFL draft and, you know, looking at what teams do and just the gamesmanship, the chess work and stuff that goes on in it. But the Bills decided on Keon Coleman. And my defense of Keon Coleman through character concerns, which it's a podcast we do here on the draft, we talked a lot about him during the year because there were some games we really liked him. Then he runs the slowest combine from the wide receivers or the slowest 40 at the combine. But when you look at the other things that he did, one of two receivers to go over 20 miles an hour in a vertical routes, he was best in the gauntlet drill, the same drills that the Puka, he's even better than Puka the year before. Puka was not good at the 40 and neither was Keon, but they were exceptional in the other drills that the NFL might value more than they do the 40-yard dash. How's he looking?
He catches the ball. It sounds simple, but that's really what you – and he's physical. That's also part of something that's been missing in this Bills wide receiving core. So is he anything more than wide receiver three at this point? No, he's not. I mean, they're going to use Curtis Samuel. If they're going to go with 12 personnel, it's going to be Curtis Samuel and Khalil Shakir. Shakir, my gosh, he has the potential to be a top 15 receiver in this league if he gets – enough targets. So that's the guy to keep an eye on.
Oh, yeah.
But we're all focused, and we'll forever be focused, Jay. And you brought it up. I'm not changing my position on this. That, okay, We'd rather have Keon Coleman. Maybe we get a little extra draft capital. You do not trade with the team you're trying to get past. I'm sorry. If the Bills didn't value Xavier Worthy, that's one thing. Yeah. But the fact that that guy could develop into something, I don't want to be seeing that. I don't want to be seeing that at all. So
yeah, you and the Bills fans, I don't want to see a 50-yard touchdown from him. He, like, every day at camp, he catches the deep ball from Mahomes. Like, he showed up there. I mean, he had the hamstring through OTAs, but he never missed a game at Texas. This guy was great at Texas, led Texas in receiving the last 3 years. A lot of people looked at him better than A.D. Mitchell, and it comes down to which GM, which staff likes who better. And the Chiefs do get the benefit of the doubt because Brett Veach has won back-to-back Super Bowls, and a lot of his draft picks have stayed on the team. So that is going to be one to watch. I kind of like them all. I really like this group of wide receivers. They're going to be fun to watch, let's be honest. But, yeah, I was sitting there doing a draft special that night. We were at a bar, and I was shocked when I found out it was the Bills that traded with the Chiefs. I thought, no way in hell. We even talked about it. Like, there's no way the Bills are going to trade the Chiefs.
No, I thought it was fake news. I'm like, no, this can't be real. Because like most people, yeah, the draft is on, but you really want the good stuff. You're going online. You're going on X. And like, I'm seeing this, like, because I'm not at the draft, but people are, and they're putting it out there. I'm like, no, this can't be right. I just dismissed it automatically. Like, that takes some, you know what I mean? That takes some fortitude for the Bills to make that move. Oh. I would not have done it.
No, personally. I'm looking at the draft order and stuff. You're thinking, okay, you throw the Bills out, you throw some of these teams. The Cowboys haven't done business with the Chiefs the last couple of years because of a trade where the Chiefs really fleeced them for Parker and for Charvarius Ward. And it's like, they're not going to do business with the Chiefs. So you throw a lot of these teams out, and divisional teams, Chargers are not going to do business with you. Throw them out. All right, Gene, we look at the AFC West, or not the AFC West, the AFC picture. I mean, some people are down on the Bills. I'm looking at that division. I'm down on the Dolphins, to be honest with you. I don't know what the Jets are until we see what Aaron Rodgers does with them. I mean, we just don't know. The Patriots, no faith in that team right now. I think they're going to set themselves up for a great draft pick next year. Buffalo could win it. Do we put them on a tier with Cincinnati? Do we move them back up? Or how about Houston? Do they join that club? Like the Ravens and Chiefs? And I mean, who do you consider that top tier?
Well, see, I think you laid it out perfectly, but for Bills fans, anybody that's listening, you can't compare to Cincinnati and Houston and whatnot. Just look at the division. And the division, you laid it out. It's like Miami's defense, and how they faded last year at the end, not so sure. New England's terrible. Are you going to put your faith in a 40-year-old quarterback staying healthy with the Jets? I am not a believer in Robert Saleh, by the way, either.
Yeah.
So, to me, I still think that 10 wins could take this division, and where the Jets have this cream puff schedule at the beginning, let's see how it ends, and it could be the same sort of way this played out last year. At Thanksgiving, the Bills are a 500 team. And yet they ended up the 2 seed. How close this league is. So I could see something like that happening again. So to answer your question, hey, you in your division, you're hosting a playoff game, you win that game at home, then you're 2 wins away from the place you haven't been since Jim Kelly, okay? So that's the way I kind of look at it now. And once you get to that point, all right, then it's kind of we'll see where every team is at. So In the pecking order, if we're doing power rankings in the AFC, I don't think you're putting the Buffalo Bills in the top 3. However, I can tell you, I think there's a pretty good chance they'll be in the top 4 by virtue of winning the division.
And I think the Dolphins will employ. I thought it was going to be last year when Tyreek Hill was upset that Jalen Waddle's catching so much, and I thought that was going to cause some difference with that team. But I will say this. I love the tight end situation they have in Buffalo. I like that. I have the same philosophy, though. If you have Mahomes – listen, Dawson was here, great quarterback, but there'll never be a quarterback in Kansas City. I don't feel ever as good as Mahomes. And it's, I mean, you got to be damn good to come in here and be better than him. And I know Jim Kelly was in Buffalo, went to 4 Super Bowls, but, you know, Josh Allen may be the best or right there with the best they've ever had. My philosophy is you get them weapons, man. You put some gas in that Ferrari in your garage. You know what I'm saying? I know these guys can make water, you know, water out of, or wine in the water. Or water out of wine, whatever. I know they can do that. I know they can do that. But, man, I would supply these guys with weapon after weapon after weapon.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hope, is that these are just weapons, you know, that the general NFL public is not familiar with. Your Dalton Kincaids, your Khalil Shakirs, even to a certain extent, James Cook. So it's just a new cast here, and we'll see how this kind of comes together. By the way, Jay, did you know, is this get any talk? Kansas City coming to Buffalo, don't tell me this isn't a conspiracy, because you know who is playing up in Toronto that week. And, oh, the only day she's not playing in Toronto is that Sunday of the game.
I don't know. I don't know, Gene. I don't know, man. I mean, who knows? I'm not buying that. I mean, are you buying that? I'm not.
That's 100%. 100%. They yeah. moved. They moved. They placed that game in November on that exact date for that reason. Can't tell me otherwise.
I thought you were going to tell me the Edmonton Elks would be there that weekend in the Canadian Football League playing the Argonauts. I didn't know. I figured it out there from you. But Gene and Mike Danger do the sports bar there. Great guys. And Gene, of course, from our sister station out there in Rochester. And we've talked ever since the draft with Mahomes, because the Buffalo Bills and Chiefs meet in the regular season. They meet in the postseason. It's like old friends at this point, right, my friend?
Yeah, well, we have the audio, Jay. You can always play it, because we were the one show that, let's invite Jay Binkland. Ha, ha, ha. You gave up a first-round pick. What was the reaction in Kansas City? Thank you, Buffalo. Thank you for Patrick Mahomes. Like, oh, my gosh.
You know what, Gene? It here, it was mixed. I mean, I was always for it. I remember the first article I wrote on our new website when we had it there before, you know, when we used to do the website, and you probably did too, but it was about drafting Mahomes. And you would be shocked at the amount of people that wanted Deshaun Watson. Like, that was really, because he'd won a national title and everybody's wanting Deshaun Watson, and Patrick Mahomes lost a lot of games at Texas Tech. But you would have been shocked with the amount of people that weren't buying into that. And Alex Smith, when he started playing well the next year, hey, keep him again, redshirt Mahomes another couple years. You wouldn't believe the amount of people. In that first year Mahomes was here, they lose by 1 point to the Titans. They had an 18-point lead at halftime. They kept Alex Smith in that game. Had they switched to Mahomes in that game, could be 7 straight AFC title games. We'll never know. But that's interesting, you know, with the way they did it. But people didn't really buy into it at first. It took them a while.
No, well, the same story here. I mean, how many people wanted Josh Rosen instead of Josh Allen?
Yeah, because Allen had a rougher year at Wyoming. His life. He was better the year before than the year he was drafted at Wyoming, right? So everybody's buying into it. But they got a great quarterback.
Yeah. Wow. Hey, listen, you should thank the John Elway for not drafting Josh Allen. That's who you should thank there. That would have been quite the division had that worked out.
Elway's done one thing right. He paid Peyton Manning. Because Peyton Manning ended up being pretty good. Gene, always enjoy talking to you, man. We'll talk to you again in the playoffs or in the regular season. You name it, we'll always talk about it, because I guarantee you this is the way things are now, my friend. It's going to be this way for as long as Mahomes and Allen are there.
Yeah, enjoy. Yeah, we got to get you on opening night there. So enjoy that opening night, Jay. And
3 weeks from tonight. 3 weeks from tonight.
Yeah, let's go.
All right, Gene, you take care, my friend.
All right, thanks, Jay.
All right, bye. Gene Battaglia right there. I always like talking to him. I need to talk some Bengals. I'm going to throw them. Baltimore, I'm going to head out to Baltimore as well at some point. I'm just putting the cream of the crop at the top. And Houston, I'm leaving Houston this year. Anyway, we'll talk about that, JT. I'm going to see where you weigh in on these things. We'll discuss that next. Jay Binkley, JT Noah, Mark Ross, NFL Network live, coming up here in just a few minutes. Who are you taking to win that East? Speaking of Buffalo, or are you putting them as a top-tier team? Are they a threat to you?
You know, I would say this. I would put them as a threat because of Josh Allen. If we want to talk about Josh Allen being up there with Patrick Mahomes, I guess you want to put Joe Burrow up there, that's fine. But if you want to put him up with those three, you would think he can do what Mahomes did last year. Not obviously getting them to the Super Bowl, but I still think that they're going to win the East. I don't trust the Dolphins. I don't trust the Jets. And we don't know what is going on in New England. So
well, they're all on Drake May right now, man. They love some Drake May right
now. That's fine, but we don't know what Mayo's going to bring.
No, I know, but I'm just saying right now they're watching the second preseason
game. They also love Milton, too. Holy
5'8", 47 yards, plus he has a rushing touchdown, 4 for 15 rushing the ball. But everybody from New England is just raving about
I'm just going to trust the team that has been proven, and they still have the same quarterback they've had. So I trust the Bills will find a way to win that division.
Yeah, I'm not trusting Miami. I have Miami slipping down. I have the Colts rising up.
Who's 19
in the last 21 years, a team that's finished last has turned around and finished first, right?
Yeah, who do you have?
I have Indianapolis being in the postseason, and I have Miami taking a step back. I have the Colts going forward and Miami taking back.
But do you have anyone flipping from last to first in a division?
Bengals. I think it's going to be a battle with the Ravens, but, I mean, looking at their schedule, I don't know, man. Bengals' schedule is really cake. In their cross rivalry, their 17th, quote, game is the Panthers because they're playing the NFC South. So I'm just kind of looking at that. But anyway, we need to take a timeout because I have Mark Ross live from NFL Network next.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.